Ask you if you would turn with me to Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17. I'm going to go ahead while you're turning there. I want to make a statement. Mark chapter number 10. You're going to look at this and you're going to say, well, that don't apply to me. If you say that doesn't apply to me, you're the one. We overlook Scripture. We overlook what God has us to see in the Scripture. So this morning, I want to go ahead and clear the air. You say, well, I've heard that text all my life. That's not me. Well, let's just make sure it ain't you. Boy, he's laid it on my heart heavy. Heavy. And I want to preach this title, Thou Lackest One Thing. Thou lackest one thing. You said, preacher, I'm a preacher. Care less. Preacher, I'm a deacon. Don't mean nothing. Preacher, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Don't mean nothing. Preacher, I'm this and I'm that. I'm not asking you title. I'm asking you this morning, are you lacking one thing? I want to show you this rich young ruler in here. And I want to show you what he lacketh. My prayer is that this church, nobody in here will be lacking one thing. But for me to pray that, my heart is, I believe our churches are full of folks that lacks one thing. Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Church of Christ, you name them, they're full of people that lack one thing. They're full of people that lack one thing. And I want to show you the one thing that this man lacked. Have a copy of God's Word, Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17. I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Ain't you glad to be here? Ain't you glad we got Bible that we can study? Ain't you glad we got Bible that doesn't fit your agenda? We have to fit its agenda. Ain't you glad we got a God in heaven that don't fit what we want Him to fit, but He's just God. And we get in line with Him. Mark chapter number 10, verse 17 through 27. Go have a little lengthy reading this morning, but that'll be okay. And when He was gone forth into the way, that being Jesus Christ, and when He had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, a good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I thought, what an interesting thing that was. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. That's what I want to preach on. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter to the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure and saying among themselves, and who can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them, with men it is impossible, with God, with all things are possible. Father, I thank you that with men things are impossible, but with you things are possible. Lord, I thank you this morning that I can stand behind this sacred desk. I don't preach a thought, an opinion, I preach thus saith the word of God that you've given me this week. Lord, I preach what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I want to preach it straight. I want to preach it true. I want to preach it to your people, Father. Lord, I want to ask you this morning to illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, and let me preach thus saith the word of God. Father, I'm asking you this morning to have your will and way in this service. I'm asking you this morning to rain down fire in this place, Father, Holy Ghost fire. Lord, I'm asking you to touch every heart, every mind, every soul. I pray you give the listeners ears to hear. I pray this morning, Father, that the old devourer, he get out of this place, that you bind Satan up and cast him out. Father, this morning, Brother Garrett said that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the testimony that there has been a change in my life. Lord, we've mentioned so many prayer requests this morning. I ask you to touch and bless every one of them. Lord, I'm asking you to reach down from heaven and have your will and way. Lord, I'm asking for the next few moments that we all really, truly, honestly search our heart this morning and make sure they be nothing lacking when you return. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning as we come into Mark chapter number 10, 17 through 27. We see that Jesus here, he gave them something to think about. And Jesus told the rich young ruler, if you look over in the book of Matthew, and he had also told him here in the book of Mark, he said, there's one thing that thou lackest. Jesus had just got done blessing the children. If you read up a few scripture there, he had just got done blessing the children. And he said, bid not them come, let the little children come, and let them come to where I'm at. Hey, can I say that anybody can come to Jesus? It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. They can come to Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that, ain't you? I'm thankful that we got a God in heaven that it doesn't matter who it is, they can come to Him. The door is always open because He is the door. Amen? And Jesus here, He comes, and the rich young ruler comes to Him, and Jesus tells him that thou lackest one thing. I want to show you three things that this young man had going on for him, but one thing that was going to cost him. This morning, you can have everything in the world going on for you. You can have it all lined up. You can have it all together. But if you lack the main thing, you're in trouble. Can I get an amen? And this morning, I want to say to you, number one, that the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. Number one, the Bible says, in verse number 17, and when Jesus had returned, that he came running to Jesus. I want to say to you that this rich young ruler, he come running to Jesus. He came right to where Jesus was. He wouldn't hid out in some corner. He wouldn't hid out trying to hide, Brother Garrett, but he came right to where Jesus was. And the Bible said that he came. I want to say that he was in a hurry. He had a need in his life, and he needed Jesus to meet it. And the Bible says that he came running to Jesus. And it said not only did he come running to Jesus, but that he kneeled at Jesus. He was humble in what he done. This rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. He came running and he came kneeling. He came right where the Son of Man was, right where the Son of God was. He came right to where Jesus was, and he came with a need in his life. But the Bible also says that he didn't come only running and he didn't come only kneeling, but he came asking. And I want to look at this morning. And I want to look at when he came. In verse number 17, the Bible said, and when he was going forth into the way, there came one running, and they came one kneeling, and they came one asking. I want to say to you, that's what a lot of folks has done in every church that there is. They came to where Jesus is. They came running. They came kneeling. They came asking, but they didn't get what they needed. Friends, this morning, can I say to you that you must make sure that you just don't come to Jesus, but you get what you need when you come to where Jesus Christ is. I want to say to you this morning, it said that he came running to where Jesus was. He came kneeling and he came asking. And here's what he said to Jesus. He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And look what the master, look what King Jesus said. Jesus said in verse number 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? You know what we say in the world we live in? Why does bad things happen to good people? Hey, why does good people get sick? Why does good people have this? Why does good people have that? I got good news. The Bible says none of us is good people this morning. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 12. I want to show you here what the Bible says. If you'll look with me to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 12, this man had come to Jesus and he called him good. He had came to where Jesus was. But in Romans chapter number 3, in verse number 12, here's what the Bible says. They're all gone out of the way. There are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He had one thing right, that Jesus Christ was good. He was the Son of God. He was the good one. He had that right. But Jesus said, hey, I'm just a man. What makes you think that I'm good? He said, there's only one good, and that is God. You say, well, what was Jesus saying? He was trying to tell him, not only am I in Jesus Christ, but I am God Himself. Can I get an amen? He said, I am who I am. I've always been from the beginning. I wasn't created. He said, but here's what's going on. You've come to me. You've come in need, and you're wanting to know what's going on. He came to Jesus. But number two, I want to give you this. He had a conversation with Jesus. Whoa. He not only did he come running, kneeling, and asking, but he had a conversation. And just because you have a conversation with the master doesn't mean that you've got everything you need. And just because you've got a fuzzy feeling doesn't mean you've got all that you need. And just because tears has run down your face doesn't mean you've got all that you need. You may still be lacking the main thing. I want to show you this in the scripture, what I'm talking about. The young man came. The young man had a conversation. Look in verse 18 and 20. And Jesus said unto him, he said, I want to know how to have eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. He said, thou knowest the commandments. He told that young man, he said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, he's done dropped the good. He's done dropped the good. He said, this man knows more about me than I know about myself. He's done dropped the good. He's done got to thinking now. He's done wrapped up in it now. He's done came to Jesus. He's having a conversation. I want to say to you this morning, this young man was rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich if you're rich and giving it to God. There's nothing wrong with being rich and you're lined up with God and doing what God has called you to do. I thank God for rich people. I thank God for people that are blessed. There's nothing wrong with being rich. What's wrong is being rich and being out of the will of God. It's wrong being poor and out of the will of God. Being in the will of God is the main thing. Can I get an amen? He said this morning the young man was rich. The young man was a ruler. Man, I'm telling you what, he had things in order. He wasn't one that you'd see out begging. He wouldn't be the one that you see now that didn't have things. He'd had on the new things. He'd have on Jordans. He'd have on Nike. He'd have on good things. He wouldn't have on the rags of this world. He'd have on the best that this world could give him. This man was rich. This man was a ruler. This man was young. He had his whole life ahead of him. He had nothing to worry about. But this man, I want you to get this. This man was an upstanding man. You never would have thought that he was missing anything. You would have never thought he was lacking anything. If he came into this church, we'd probably make him treasure. If he come into this church, we'd probably make him a deacon. If he come into this church, we'd probably let him preach behind this pulpit. If he come into this church, he'd be doing Sunday school. If he came into this church, we would esteem him. We'd give him a place to sit. We'd line him up a place. Why? Because he was rich. Because he was young. Because he was handsome. Because he had it all going together. We'd give him a position. But Jesus didn't see him that way. He don't look on the outside. Woo! Jesus looks on the inside. Don't you look on what a man's got. You just let God look on his inside. Let me give you this. He came and he had a conversation. Look what this conversation was. He said this. He answered and said unto him, Master, I want you to get this. He came and he had a conversation. And he said, all these. Look at this. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these. Not one or two, but he said all of them. You're going to get the answer for yourself one day. Jesus just laid it out there and he said, listen, I've never committed adultery. Hey, I've never bared false witness. Hey, I've never lied. I've never stole. I've never done wrong. I'm a good old boy. He said, I lack none of these. He came, he had a conversation, and this man truly got under conviction. Why? Because Jesus loved him. You know when you'll get under true Holy Ghost conviction? It's because Jesus Christ loves you. I believe a lot of folks has walked to an altar and never been under conviction, never truly knowing what sin is, separation from Almighty God, getting in an old-timey altar and doing business with an old-timey God. Folks, listen to me this morning. This man had everything you could ask. If you looked at him walking down the street, you say he's got it all together. He's, man, he fits the bill. But I want you to know he came to where Jesus was. Just coming to Jesus is not enough. Listen to me. Just talking with Jesus is not enough. Had to be under conviction is not enough. Let me show you what he did here. Look what he said here. He's got everything lining up for him. He's came. He's talked with him. He's under conviction. Look what he said here. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He didn't have nothing against him. He loved him. But you know what? Jesus loves you enough, he won't let you live in the mess you're in. Oh, glory to God. We have a gospel now that's being preached. Don't worry about what you've got to quit doing. Just get saved. Just get saved. All you got to do is just get saved. Don't worry. You want to quit? You got to quit drinking? Don't worry about it. Just get saved. Don't worry about that. You got to quit running around on your wife? Don't worry about that. Just get saved. Listen to me, my friends. When you get saved, that stuff stops. When you get born again, that stuff's out the door. You say, preacher, it don't have to be. If you're born again by the blood of Jesus, that stuff's got to go. Now, that's easy religion. That's easy gospel. That's an easy Jesus. That's not the Jesus I serve. I want you to know this morning, this man was under conviction. He was under true Holy Ghost conviction. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He had everybody food. Everybody was food. Everybody thought he was a rich, young ruler. But Jesus said, there's one thing you lack in your life. I want to ask you this morning, Jesus Christ was standing in you this morning, and he came to your heart, and he asked you, what about you? And you say, everything's good. He ain't asking you, is everything good? He's asking you, is everything right? See, we want to say, how you doing, Brother Tony? Oh, it's good. He ain't asking you, is it good? I'm going to ask you how it is. You're going to give good. He ain't asking you good. He wants to know if you're right with him. This man came. This man had a conversation with Jesus, and now he's under conviction. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, there's one thing thou lackest. There's one thing you lack. There's one thing you lack. He said, take your money, take what you got, give it away. Go give it to the poor, get rid of it. He's never asked me to do that. He's never asked you to do that. You know why he asked that man to do that? Because that man knew there was something in his life, thou shalt not covet. He knew there was something he trusted more, listen to me, than Jesus. He knew there was something that man feared more than. Hey, you take his money, he ain't going to worship him. You take his health, and this man ain't going to worship. This man don't know how to worship. He's worshiping on his wealth. He's worshiping on his money. He's wanting to find out because he's got it all together. And Jesus said, you want to have it all together, get rid of everything you got. Everything you got, get rid of it. Pick up your cross. Pick up that cross and follow me. Come. And follow me. Come and follow me. Well, I don't want to give it up, preacher. I like this lifestyle. Well, you won't follow Jesus. Well, preacher, I don't like doing that. I don't like quitting things. I don't like that. I like what I'm doing. Well, you won't follow Jesus. He's not no respecter of persons. When he told this man to lay down whatever you're worshiping, lay down whatever's got a hold of you, lay it down. This morning, your pastor's telling you, lay it down and worship Jesus. You know what it is in your life? He said, one thing thou lackest. You know what you've got more trust in than anything. You know what you fear more than God. You know what you have more faith in than you have God. Well, preacher, I'm telling you what, I live by faith, but I got to see sometimes. Folks, this man right here, Jesus said, you want to see? Leave it all behind. Come on, follow me. I want to ask you this morning, where are you at? Maybe there's been a time in your life that you've came to Jesus. Now, I don't know why he's put this on me, but I've been just mulling it over, Brother Shea. Just raw, just eating on it. This man came to Jesus. He came right to where Jesus was. He had a conversation with Jesus. They talking back and forth. I'm talking about he's talking to the lily of the valley. He's talking to the rose of Sharon. He's talking to the bright light. He's talking to Jesus. He's talking to the Savior of the world. And he's having a conversation. And talking with Jesus, he's got under conviction. Three things this man had. He came, he had that going for him. Congratulations, you came. Let me tell you something else this man had going on. This man had a conversation with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Not always. Huh? I applaud him. This man was under conviction. You know how many people I've seen walk out of here white knuckled? Tears flowing down their face under so much conviction. I'm telling you what, it eating them alive. They can't even stand themselves. You know what they do? They can't wait till Denise Markham quits singing so they can get out the door and make it to next Sunday. They came. They had a conversation. They were under conviction. Three things that man had going for him. Let me give you something that the man didn't have. He didn't have a conversion. He didn't have a change. Man, when I read that, Brother Cagle, it got all over me, man, in my soul, my spirit. How many folks just came to an altar, knelt down, and the preacher said, you're right, you're good. Man, keep Oh, you're good. And they get up and walk right back. They came. They talked with Jesus. They were under conviction, but they didn't stay long enough to get what they needed. They didn't stay long enough to get that touch of Jesus Christ on their life. And now they're out in the world living any way they want to live and calling themselves Christians, saved, going to go to heaven. They're doing everything under the sun. You can't tell the difference in them and a lost man and a saved man. And they're living it up. And they're betting their whole future. Their whole future. Their whole destiny. Their whole life. And there's never been a change in their life. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I cried the day I got saved. Congratulations, that's not a qualification. Preacher, I got goosebumps all over me. Congratulations, but that's not a qualification to be saved. Preacher, I said the sinner's prayer the right way, and no, that's not a qualification to be saved. It must be a change. It must be a change. How do you get changed? How would this man got changed? How would he have got changed? The Bible said that he left grieving. Grieving. The Bible said he's left grieving. He said, preacher, we didn't come to hear this. Boy, when he gave it to me, I didn't want to hear it. Said the man left grieving. He came to where Jesus was. He had a conversation, got under conviction of the Holy Ghost. But he had no change. He had no change. I'm worried about folks. As a pastor, I don't know what it's got going on in my life right now. Well, maybe the heart surgery. I done got a little different. I don't know. But I'm worried about folks that say they love Jesus and they love the Lord and they won't come to the house of God. Worried about folks that said he died for me. They take his name in vain. Worried about folks that said he died for me and I love him, but they won't live for him. What good is loving somebody if you won't live for him? Boy, it's been on me, Brother Eric Carruth. It has been on me. The old timers, you didn't have to beg them or plead them or pamper them. The old timers knew who had died for them. They knew they'd had a conversion, they'd had a change. I was standing this week with somebody, and they were just so happy that God had saved them. I mean, son, oh, mouse around, son, he's acting crazy. And it's like, man, I can't believe he'd save me. I said, I can't believe he'd save me. And I said, well, how did you know you were saved? I just asked that, how did you know? I said, oh, Brother BJ, the change. The change is so evident in my life. The change. I'm not even the same person. I'm new. Let me show you this in Scripture. Look with me if you will. The man came. He had a conversation. He had conviction, but he never had a conversion. The young man had no conversion. Look in verse 22. And he was sad at that saying. Preacher, you trying to get us to second doubt our salvation? No, sir. If you're saved, don't you second doubt nothing. I'm trying to tell you, if you ain't saved, you need to get saved. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about him and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished at these sayings, and they asked the question, who then can be saved? Who then? He said, preacher, I've came to an altar. Preacher, I've had a conversation with Jesus, and I was under conviction. And there's been a conversion. You're saved. You know why this young man wasn't saved even though he came to Jesus? I want to give you just a few things and we'll go. Number one, he was unwilling to repent. He was unwilling to repent. There was no repentance. You cannot be saved without repentance. What's repentance? That you know you've wronged a righteous God and that you're willing to turn. You're willing to turn. To turn, you got to let things go. To turn, you got to turn. Me and Brandy went to Birmingham to the hospital. We don't have one-way streets around here. I turned down the wrong street this week. Cars coming toward me, three of them, three lanes. Brandy said, what you going to do now? I said, I ain't turning around now. I'm done dedicated. Son, I shot between two of them up that overpass. We went. She said, you crazy things. And God got speaking to me. He said, that's how you ought to be for me. When everybody's going the wrong way. Oh, you think you're going the wrong way, but you know where you got to get to. And you know Jesus is the only way. Sometimes you just got to go. You've got to go to where he is. Look what he says. He was unwilling to repent. Jesus said in verse 21, Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come. That means he has to turn away. Come, repent, come, come. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You need to come. You need to come to where Jesus is. Come to where Jesus. Preacher, everybody's in here saved. What's wrong with you? You don't know that, and I don't neither. That's what's wrong with every church. Preachers get up every Sunday and they assume everybody out there is saved. Come. He was unwilling to repent because he was unwilling to release what had a hold on him. He was unwilling to repent because he liked what had a hold on him. Even though he wanted eternal life, he didn't want to let go, Brother Garrett, what he had right now. Why? Because it made him feel good. It was his security blanket. He trusted it more than he did God. He trusted what he could see and what he had more than what God. He had more fear in losing it than in losing, oh, glory to God. He had more fear in losing it than he did in losing God. Folks, if there's anything in this world you fear losing and you'd rather hold on to it and lose God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. He was unwilling to repent. He was unwilling to release and let go. He was unwilling to take up the cross. Look what he said in verse 21. Come, take up the cross. And he was unwilling to follow Jesus Christ. There'll be no crown wearers in heaven that wouldn't cross barriers below. You will not bear a crown in heaven if you didn't carry the cross below. I'm telling you. I wrote this down and I want to give it to you. Jesus, can everybody hear me real good? Jesus let him go. And if you're not willing to repent and let God change your life, he will let you go too. Listen to me. I did not see Jesus beg him to come back. I didn't see Jesus beg him. Please, just kept on with him. Please give you stuff. Please, please get right. Jesus gave him the answer. He was under conviction, and he didn't want no conversion. He wanted to go the same way he'd been going. And Jesus said, it's a hard thing, but Jesus let him go, and he'll let you go too. You want this world, he'll let you have every bit of it. You want the cares of this world, you want the things of this world, he'll let you go too. He said, preacher, that ain't the God I serve. It may not be the God you serve, but it's the God of that book. He's either God of all or he ain't God at all in your life. He don't take second place. He's not a co-pilot. He's the pilot of your life. He will not get in the back seat. He's wanting the driver's seat. He wants it all. And when you come to the end of your life, what you've done with King Jesus will determine what God the Father would do with you. Jesus let him go, and he'll let you and I go as well. He let him go. He let him go that way because he would not repent. You said, preacher, are you sure about that? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. I want to show you this in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. You don't know you saved? You don't know? You don't know you born again? You don't know you washed in the blood? You don't know this new year starts off good, Sister Faith and Brother Connor? I'm talking about son. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, doing good. Y'all doing a good job on that, by the way. I enjoyed that. You don't know how you saved. Can't go on a feeling. There's days I don't feel saved. Listen, you can't go on a feeling. Well, I feel like I am. Don't go on a feeling. Don't go on a feeling. You got to go on what the book says. Paul told the church of Corinth this right here. Therefore, if any man, anybody, you'll know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You don't know if you're saved or not? That old man will die. And when Jesus saves you by his blood, there'll be a new man, new woman come on the scene. You won't be the same. Why did that man not have a conversion? Why? He was in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, if Jesus was right here today and he told me that, I'd get saved. He's here today. I'm his spokesperson. I'm speaking on his behalf. I'm not up here blowing hot wind. I'm not up here blowing hot wind to you. I'm speaking on the behalf of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, there's a lot that'll say to me, did we not prophesy in that name? Did we not cast out demons in that name? Did we not? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. You can come to him. You can have a conversation with him. You can be under Holy Ghost conviction. But until you repent and let Jesus Christ be the King of your life, you will not have no change. You will not have no conversion. And you will not have a home in heaven until you truly give your life to Jesus. I ask you this morning, is there something lacking in your life? Is there something lacking? I'm talking about spiritual. Preacher, man, Preacher, you scared me this morning. That's not my intentions. Preacher, you've got me second guessing. That's not my intentions at all. My intentions is that you won't be lacking nothing when the Master comes. He's coming. Who's he going to get when he comes? Those that are washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask some musicians to come. I want to ask you to think about that this morning. He said, preacher, where I'm sitting, my husband, if he knew that I was lost, he'd have a fit. He'd have more fit when he got to heaven and you wasn't there. Boy, I tell you what, if my wife knew I was really lost, she'd have a fit. She'd have a real fit when you didn't make it to heaven. Tell you what, I do a lot for the Lord, preacher. It don't mean you saved. Hey, a lot of folks do a lot for the Lord. It's lost. It ain't what you've done for the Lord. It's what the Lord's done for you. That he saved your soul from a devil's hell. I ask you to stand. As we sing this morning,